Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28 reads these words. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Amen. Let us read these words together. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would breathe on it and on us afresh, that we might be able to be a table by which you can feed your people from. Pray that thou would feed me and them, that you would be glorified. We pray, Lord, that if there's somebody that don't know you, that they'll make that connection this morning before it's everlasting too late. This is our servant's prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We want to talk this morning from the subject, being your own worst enemy. Amen. Can we all say that together, please? One more time. Amen. Amen. Being your own worst enemy. Amen. Amen. Too often, what we fail to see is the enemy in me. It's one thing to find that you have been you find yourself an enemy. One thing to find that we often regret when we discover that we've had our enemies close, that we find ourselves, one movie said, sleeping with the enemy. But this is much worse than that. This is when you are the number one enemy. Amen. It's when you are your own opponent. It is when you are your own worst enemy. Amen. And we know that the scripture makes it plain that Jesus said unto them that I want you to understand the importance of enemies. And he says that and the aim of our sermon is for us to review our actions. Amen. To review our actions. Enemy is someone who is against you. Someone who hates you. Someone who brings harm to you. Someone who does not have your best interests at heart. An enemy. And you're your own worst enemy when you're making decisions that mess up your own life. When you become the reason for your own failure. And thus, you don't look beyond yourself. You don't look at yourself, you look at others. And you fail to look beyond yourself. This is something that is critical. We need to understand that you can be your own worst enemy. Amen. You can be your own problem. You can be your own opponent. You can be your own enemy. Amen. When I think about that, what I think about is, it's true when you think about independence. Amen. People died for our independence, for our voting rights. And when you don't vote, amen, you're your own worst enemy. Because you have to live with a decision that somebody else makes. And if you don't vote, don't complain. Amen. Independence. How can you burn your own flag? Amen. How can you be against yourself? Because when you are a part of something, when you represent something, you are who you represent. And this is something that we tend to overlook, but it is a reality that needs to be discovered, because it has brought so many down. But it's true when it comes to independence. It's true when it comes to insurance. How could you not have insurance knowing you're going to die? Anybody in here going to live forever on this side? Not a hand went up. Amen. But there are time after time, there is funeral after funeral, there is case after case where people will see movies, people will drink liquor, people will buy cigarettes, people will buy Budweiser, people will see every movie that comes out, but will walk around without insurance. You are your own worst enemy. You say, well, I won't be here. I'm sure I won't need it. I'm not hurting myself. How am I hurting myself? When you hurt your loved ones, when your loved ones have to take care of you because of your irresponsibility, then you're hurting yourself because they are part of you. That's the point. You are hurting yourself when you hurt others that are part of you. Amen. And so this morning we must recognize that it is true when it comes to independence, when it comes to insurance. It's true, and it was true when it came to Israel in the Bible. Israel, the Bible tells us, you know the story of the Exodus story, how the children of Israel, God, Exodus means to exit. They made an exit out of Egypt. They left Egypt, and God brought them out of Egypt. And not only that, but he elected them. God chose them as his own people. How odd of God to choose the Jews. He elected them as his people and gave them a land. Can everybody say gave? He gave them a land, and it was theirs free. Amen. Ownership, amen, was, amen, unconditional. But occupancy was conditional. Amen. You had to do something to stay in the land, but you didn't have to do anything to obtain the land. And as we look at this, what we find is when they came out of Egypt, here in our text, we find them now about having traveled about a year and a half from Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Horeb and Sinai are the same name. The Horeb represents amen, the base of the mountain. The Sinai represents the peak of the part of that mountain. It's the same mountain, two names. Amen. And what we find is that as they came out of that land, we find them here at Kadesh Barnea. Amen. Kadesh Barnea. Amen. And they made a decision at Kadesh Barnea that was very interesting. Amen. Now they have traveled all nearly 2 years now, and they are at the brink of their blessing. Kadesh Barnea, the south part of an entryway into the land. God led them there. And they made the statement in Numbers 13 and 16, let us send spies to spy out the land. Oh, amen. God had given them the land, but they need to check it out before they could get it. Amen. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? Amen. God gave them something that they would not accept until they proved that maybe God was right, that everything was all right. Oh, I wish I could stay there a while, but the fact of the matter is that they sent spies to spy out the land. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, that it really was something that the people did. Amen. God had set the land, and he had spoken to them about accepting the land, but what we find out is that the people doubted God. Amen. And they said themselves that you would send someone in, Deuteronomy 1:22, send someone in and search to see if we should take this land. Have we got a witness? In other words, we need to see if we're going to take this gift. Have we got a witness? That don't even sound right. God had given them the land, but they need to see if they're going to take it. And they are going to apply their humanism to this situation instead of accepting and standing on what God had said. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They said, we need to send spies in to make sure everything was all right. They said, go spy out the land, Numbers chapter 13, verses 18, 19, and 20, and check out the land. Check out the people in the land. Amen. And they said, I want you to check out, in verse 18, the population of the land. I want you to check out the population of the people, the state of the people, to see if they are strong or to see if they are weak. Amen. I want you to check out the land. Amen. To see if the land, in verse 19, is fertile, to see if the land is fruitful, to see if the land is if the land has forests in it, to see if there are fortified walls, or is this just a village out there in the open? Go and check out our blessing before we take it. Amen. God has given you the land, but you don't trust God enough to go in. You got to check God. You got to checkmate God. And yes, when you read that God told them to go ahead and send spies, you got to be careful, because you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out that there are times when God will tell you to do something, and then your response to what he says, he will let you do what you want to do, although he has told you what to do. And all that's going to do for you is just waste more time. And you may even end up losing your blessing, because you don't have faith. They said, check it out and see if it's fruitful. Verse 20. And don't be afraid to bring back some fruit over there. If you find some grapes, don't be afraid to bring back some big grapes and show us about the land, if the land is fruitful or not. We got to check God out. Amen. They may not say that that's what they were doing, but you have to be very careful when you get a clear command from God to do something, and then you say that you want to check it out. He said, okay, send spies over there and let them check it out. God didn't really want it that way. Amen. There's a whole lot of things we could look at in the Bible. I don't want to chase no rabbits, but God didn't tell Moses to get Aaron. That was Moses' idea. What would have happened if he just went like God told him? Later on, Aaron ended up almost splitting the congregation and turning the whole church, whereas he was up there getting the Ten Commandments, worshiping a golden calf. But that's who you wanted. God has got this already figured out. Amen. I wonder what would happen if we just do things God's way. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The truth of the matter is that they checked out the land and then they came back with their report. Amen. They came back with their report in verses 27 and 28, and they concluded two things. They concluded two things, and that is, amen. That's what they found out when they went over to the land. They said, amen. In chapter 14, verse 27, they said, amen. Chapter verse 37 and 38. Amen. The land is good, but the people are not good. And they said that when we was over there, we saw the Anakins over there. We saw that there were giants in that land. Have we got a witness? There were giants in the land, and he says that there were giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers. Amen, amen, amen. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 33, amen. I jumped ahead of myself. Numbers 13 and 27 and 28, amen. Numbers 13, 27 and 28, he says that the land wherein you sent us truly flows with milk and honey. Numbers 13, 28, nevertheless, have I got a witness? The people who are dwelling in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified. And we saw the children of Anak there. We saw the descendants of Anak. And the Bible tells us in verse 30 that Caleb stilled the people, or he quieted the people when he got back to the congregation with that report. And he says, let us go up at once, is what Caleb said. Amen. And let us conquer the land. Amen. Immediately. Let's go get the land. Amen. But the men quickly quieted this report. In verse number 31, they said, but the men who had gone up with them said, we're not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we are. Amen. And they gave them an evil or a bad report in verse 32. And they says, again, they talk about who they saw in verse 33. We saw giants in the land, and we saw giants, and we looked like grasshoppers. Amen. They saw giants, and they said about themselves, we're grasshoppers. Have we got a witness? Oh, but I could shout right there, because God likes to take a grasshopper and beat giants so he can get the glory. But they want to be positioned to where they can get the glory. And that's why you have to watch yourself, because God, amen, doesn't do things the way that we. Don't you think God knew how you all look? Are y'all giving God, are you telling God anything that he don't already know? Amen. And Caleb had to get them straight in verse 8. He says, if the Lord delights in us, amen, amen, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey, a land that is fertile and fruitful. It's not really, what Caleb is saying is that God is the determining factor, not the giants. Amen. But it's so normal, it's so natural, isn't it, to put the focus on the physical. It's easy to walk by sight. Amen. You can deal with that. But he says in verse 9, Caleb gave us some insight. He said, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear. That's another thing, amen. Our fear and our mind and our flesh are two things that messes us up, keeps us from our blessing. For they are bread for us, amen. Their protection has departed from them, because we are blessed and they are cursed. And we already told you that when you have the favor of God in your life, then you have the protection of God. They don't have no protection. Amen. They're wide open. They're vulnerable. And they don't have any protection. And so you need to recognize. And then he said in verse 10, chapter 14, verse 10, and you know what? The congregation got so mad with him, they were going to stone them. They were going to stone the minority, Caleb and Joshua. The whole congregation was going to stone these two spies. They sent 12, and these are two that they were going to stone. The Bible tells us that they was about to stone them, and then God intervened. God knows when to step in. Amen. That we got to win. They were just about to rock them down. Amen. They were going to rock them down. Amen. And the Bible says that all of the congregation in verse 10 said, stone them with stones. That's what we think about what they're talking about. And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. God made his visible presence known where they could know it. Amen. Amen. And God just told Moses, the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, how long shall I deal with these people? They're rejecting me. How long, amen, do they not believe in me? And after all I've done, all the miracles, all the things that they have seen me do, amen, amen. This is before they marched out in the desert for 40 years. He just going, these people seen me come bring folk through the Red Sea. They seen what I did to Pharaoh. They knew about the plagues when God made darkness and disease everywhere else, but right there in Goshen where they were, there was no disease and there was no darkness. God took nature and he controlled nature. He said, they act like they don't know who I am. And he says, what I want you to do, Moses, I want to just strike them out. In verse 12, I will strike them with a pestilence or with a disease and kill them all and disinherit them. They won't get anything. And I'll make you, Moses, a nation greater and mightier than they. I'll just use you. I'll just use you. But I'm going to get rid of all this congregation. About 2 million people are telling me that they don't want to accept what I'm trying to give them. They are their own worst enemy. It was not their enemies that kept them out. It was not a lack of this or a lack of that. It was not none of that. None of the above. They stopped their own blessing. They are the ones that created this problem. These Israelites created. God says, I'm tired of trying to prove myself. Don't they know how good I've been to them? Amen. Amen. Moses said, don't do that, Lord. Amen. Moses, amen. They jump on Moses, but Moses would pray for him. In verse 13, Moses said, Lord, then the Egyptians are going to hear about it. And then in verse 15, he says, other nations are going to hear about it. And your name is at stake. And they're going to say in verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring them out, they're going to say that he had to just kill them in the wilderness. Don't do it. And I pray in verse 17 and 18, let the long suffering of the Lord prevail in abundance. Show them your mercy. Show them how loving. Show them how forgiving you are. Amen. Amen. Pardon their iniquity. Verse 19. Pardon the iniquity of these people. And the Bible said, then the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. Isn't it good to pray? Verse 20. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Moses prayed for them. They were about to be wiped out. God said, forget about them. I'll just start over with you, Moses. Amen. I'm tired of trying to prove myself. Sometimes you just get tired of trying to prove the folk. Amen. You got to prove yourself and prove yourself and prove yourself and keep on proving yourself and proving yourself. And then he says, look, but Moses stood on the side of the people and he prayed. And then he said, show them your greatness and show them your mercy. Amen. And Moses saved the day. Amen. And what we got to recognize here this morning is that God had brought them out over and over again, but they were their own worst enemy. And what we find out simply is that being their own worst enemies, notice the environment, the evidence, and the ear that we want to point out here. The environment, the evidence, and the ear are things we need to notice. Amen. God wants to do a blessing. God wanted to do a blessing, but the environment was not right. Amen. Because their attitudes were bad toward God. Amen. Their attitudes were bad. They were more focused on the giants. They were more focused. They didn't think they were able. Amen. And verse 33, we found out that they were concerned about the giants, and they talked about themselves being grasshoppers, but ain't nobody brought up God on their side. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They haven't seen all God has done, and ain't nobody brought up God. They are totally consumed with their flesh. They are totally consumed, and they have not brought God's name up yet. Only Caleb and Joshua were the ones talking about God. Amen. They were blinded, amen, by their flesh. And God, so what they said, you need to know what they said. In verse, the atmosphere of the environment that they put here is verse 20, verse 2 of chapter 14. You go back and you see, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, oh, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Amen. Well, I wish that we would have just died in the wilderness. Why had the Lord brought us out here in verse 3 to fall by the sword and our wives and our children should be victims? Amen. And they got divided. They said, let us just make us another leader. We don't like what Moses is doing, and let's just go back to where we came from. In verse 4, we'll just go back to where we came from. Amen. We prefer death. We prefer to desert this whole thing and go back to where we came from. We don't believe that there's doubt in our hearts, and we don't want to accept the blessing